The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stuttmiller, on this Wednesday, 31st of October, 2018. Does that date have any significance, October 31st? I went into a little stop and rob. That's a throwback to my Michigan days. You know, up north, you go into a party store, you're talking to somebody through 2-3 inches of Lexan. Down here in Texas, we don't have those sorts of things. We don't have Lexan, we just have pistols. At any rate, I walked in and I'd completely forgotten today is Halloween, All Hallows Eve. By the way, the history of this, you know, back in the late 1800s in this country, it wasn't about ghouls, goblins, and everything else. It was social time, dances and things of that nature, and bands in the park, and sitting on the gazebo, and, you know, yesteryear stuff. At any rate, I was just blown away. I walked in there, and I see this kid, kind of, his face is partially obscured, and I see something green on his face, and I'm going, what the hell is that? Who are they hiring in here? And he turned, and I got the full frontal of his face, and I'm looking at him, and I guess the look on my face, he goes, boo. And then it dawned on me. Oh, that's right. $600 million in candy. You don't think this is a big deal for candy makers? Yeah, at any rate. Yesterday, I'd forgotten I'd had this on my computer. And when Mikey and Tom here reformatted and got me over to Mozilla Firefox rather than this Internet Explorer, God almighty. Folks, if you're still using Internet Explorer and you get all those pop-ups, it's pop-up city, man. This company is making money off of these pop-ups. They haven't deplatformed themselves, have they? They haven't cut their revenue out. You're getting zapped with it. Now, even on YouTube, Mike, if you go to watch a video, now before you wouldn't see any commercials in there at all. Now you get a commercial beforehand, and they're getting slick. Generally, when you do that, you can skip commercial in 3, 2, 1, and you hit the button, and okay, they're not doing that anymore. You're getting full-on 30-second commercials. Just as you see on TV. And then while you're watching something on YouTube, you might have 4, 5, 6 commercials pop up. So, man, they're monetizing, and they deplatformed and demonetized everybody else. I hope they choke on it. At any rate, when they switched all the stuff over, there was a file that I had, and I had forgotten I had this. Now, we all know Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The only way he was out of office is he died. But here's the guy that initialized the fireside chats. Now, we had radio back in the 20s. Obviously, we had it in the 30s and subsequent years. But this is the guy. His first fireside chat was on March 12th, 1933. Now, why is that date significant? Well, 3 days prior to that, there was a bankruptcy and reorganization at the guided hand of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And I have a copy of his first fireside chat. And what I've said about Donald Trump, you know, if you don't like the lying media, bypass them. You know, I remember Ross Perot when he was running for president. Nobody really wanted to talk to this guy, much like Ron Paul was treated. But this guy bought half-hour blocks. Do you remember those? Commercial-free half-hour blocks, prime time. And he was paying up the big bucks, so the media's needed money, and yeah, who the hell cares if this little sawed-off Texan gets up there and talks for a half hour? He pays good. And I've said to Donald Trump, if you want to take a message to the American people, and you want it uninterrupted, and, you know, they're going to spin everything anyhow on him, but go directly to the American people. Have your desk side chats without interruption, and just buy some time up, say once a month, whatever, on the major networks, and have your own fireside chats. Well, this is Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt on his first fireside chat 3 days after this country went into official bankruptcy. And listen to him try to calm the fears of the people dealing with the fractionalized reserve banking then.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My friends, I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking. To talk with the comparatively few who understand the mechanics of banking, but more particularly with the overwhelming majority of you who use banks for the making of deposits and the drawing of checks. I want to tell you what has been done in the last few days and why it was done and what the next steps are going to be. I recognize that the many proclamations from state capitals and from Washington, the legislation, the treasury regulations, and so forth, couched for the most part in banking and legal terms, ought to be explained for the benefit of the average citizen. I owe this in particular because of the fortitude and the good temper with which everybody has accepted the inconvenience and the hardships of the banking holiday. And I know that when you understand what we in Washington have been about, I shall continue to have your cooperation as fully as I have had your sympathy and your help during the past week. First of all, let me state the simple fact that when you deposit money in a bank, the bank does not put the money into a safe deposit vault. It invests your money in many different forms of credit, in bonds, in commercial paper, in mortgages, and in many other kinds of loans. In other words, the bank puts your money to work to keep the wheels of industry and of agriculture turning round. A comparatively small part of the money that you put into the bank is kept in currency, an amount which in normal times is wholly sufficient to cover the cash needs of the average citizen. In other words, the total amount of all the currency in the country is only a comparatively small proportion of the total deposits in all the banks of the country. What then happened during the last few days of February and the first few days of March? Because of undermined confidence on the part of the public, there was a general rush by a large portion of our population to turn bank deposits into currency or gold. A rush so great that the soundest banks couldn't get enough currency to meet the demand. The reason for this was that on the spur of the moment, it was, of course, impossible to sell perfectly sound assets of a bank and convert them into cash except at panic prices far below their real value. By the afternoon of March 3rd, a week ago last Friday, scarcely a bank in the country was open to do business. Proclamations closing them in whole or in part had been issued by the governors in almost all of the states. It was then that I issued the proclamation providing for the national bank holiday. And this was the first step in the government's reconstruction of our financial and economic fabric. The second step, last Thursday, was the legislation, promptly and patriotically passed by the Congress, confirming my proclamation and broadening my powers so that it became possible, in view of the requirement of time, to extend the holiday and lift the ban of that holiday gradually in the days to come. This law also gave authority to develop a program of rehabilitation of our banking facilities. And I want to tell our citizens in every part of the nation that the National Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, showed by this action a devotion to public welfare and a realization of the emergency and the necessity for speed that it is difficult to match in all our history. The third stage has been the series of regulations permitting the banks to continue their functions, to take care of the distribution of food and household necessities, and the payment of payroll. This bank holiday, while resulting in many cases in great inconvenience, is affording us the opportunity to supply the currency necessary to meet the situation. Remember that no sound bank is a dollar worse off than it was when it closed its doors last week. Neither is any bank which may turn out not to be in a position for immediate opening. The new law allows the 12 Federal Reserve banks to issue additional currency on good assets, and thus the banks that reopen will be able to meet every legitimate call. The new currency is being sent out by the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in large volume to every part of the country. It is sound currency because it is backed by actual good assets. Another question that you will ask is this: why are all the banks not to be reopened at the same time? The answer is simple, and I know you will understand it. Your government does not intend that the history of the past few years shall be repeated. We do not want and will not have another epidemic of bank failures. As a result, we start tomorrow, Monday, with the opening of banks in the 12 Federal Reserve Bank cities. Those banks which, on first examination by the Treasury, have already been found to be all right. That will be followed on Tuesday by the resumption of all other functions by banks already found to be sound in cities where there are recognized clearinghouses. That means about 250 cities of the United States. In other words, we're moving as fast as the mechanics of the situation will allow us. On Wednesday and succeeding days, banks in smaller places all through the country will resume business, subject, of course, to the government's physical ability to complete its survey. It is necessary that the reopening of banks be extended over a period in order to permit the banks to make applications for the necessary loans, to obtain currency needed to meet their requirements, and to enable the government to make common sense checkups. Please let me make it clear to you that if your bank does not open the first day, you are by no means justified in believing that it will not open. A bank that opens on one of the subsequent days is in exactly the same status as the bank that opens tomorrow. I know that many people are worrying about state banks that are not members of the Federal Reserve System. There is no occasion for that worry. These banks can and will receive assistance from member banks and from the Reconstruction Finance Corporation. And, of course, they are under the immediate control of the state banking authorities. These state banks are following the same course as the national banks, except that they get their licenses to resume business from the state authorities. And these authorities have been asked by the Secretary of the Treasury to permit their good banks to open up on the same schedule as the national banks. And so I am confident that the state banking departments will be as careful as the national government in the policy relating to the opening of banks and will follow the same broad theories. It is possible that when the banks resume, a very few people who have not recovered from their fear may again begin withdrawals. Let me make it clear to you that the banks will take care of all needs, except, of course, the hysterical demands of hoarders, and it is my belief that hoarding during the past week has become an exceedingly unfashionable pastime in every part of our nation. It needs no prophet to tell you that when the people find that they can get their money, that they can get it when they want it for all legitimate purposes, the phantom of fear will soon be laid. People will again be glad to have their money where it will be safely taken care of and where they can use it conveniently at any time. I can assure you, my friends, that it is safer to keep your money in a reopened bank than it is to keep it under the mattress. The success of our whole national program depends, of course, on the cooperation of the public, on its intelligent support, and its use of a reliable system. Remember that the essential accomplishment of the new legislation is that it makes it possible for banks more readily to convert their assets into cash than was the case before. More liberal provision has been made for banks to borrow on these assets at the reserve banks, and more liberal provision has also been made for issuing currency on the security of these good assets. This currency is not fiat currency. It is issued only on adequate security, and every good bank has an abundance of such security. One more point before I close. There will be, of course, some banks unable to reopen without being reorganized. The new law allows the government to assist in making these reorganizations quickly and effectively, and even allows the government to subscribe to at least a part of any new capital that may be required. I hope you can see, my friends, from this essential recital of what your government is doing, that there is nothing complex, nothing radical in the process. We have had a bad banking situation. Some of our bankers had shown themselves either incompetent or dishonest in their handling of the people's funds. They had used the money entrusted to them in speculations and unwise loans. This was, of course, not true in the vast majority of our banks, but it was true in enough of them to shock the people of the United States for a time into a sense of insecurity and to put them into a frame of mind where they did not differentiate, but seemed to assume that the acts of a comparative few had tainted them all. And so it became the government's job to straighten out this situation and to do it as quickly as possible, and that job is being performed. I do not promise you that every bank will be reopened or that individual losses will not be suffered, but there will be no losses that possibly could be avoided, and there would have been more and greater losses had we continued to drift. I can even promise you salvation for some at least of the sorely pressed banks. We shall be engaged not merely in reopening sound banks, but in the creation of more sound banks through reorganization. It has been wonderful to me to catch the note of confidence from all over the country. I can never be sufficiently grateful to the people for the loyal support that they have given me in their acceptance of the judgment that has dictated our course, even though all our processes may not have seemed clear to them. After all, there is an element in the readjustment of our financial system more important than currency, more important than gold, and that is the confidence of the people themselves. Confidence and courage are the essentials of success in carrying out our plan. You people must have faith. You must not be stampeded by rumors or guesses. Let us unite in banishing fear. We have provided the machinery to restore our financial system, and it is up to you to support and make it work. It is your problem, my friends, your problem no less than it is mine. Together, we cannot fail.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
In your eyes, the light, the heat, your eyes, I am complete, your eyes, see the doorway, your eyes, the thousand churches, your eyes, the resolution, your eyes, upon the
day in history, a day in the life. You notice how Mr. Roosevelt use the term to reassure people that when you go to the bank, this is not going to be fiat currency. Yeah. Well, I'm holding in my hands one of the original posters that was in a post office that when the place was torn down and they tore out one of the affixed, I guess it was a desk kind of thing in the post office, they pulled it away from the wall. This was down behind it, and it just happens to be the executive order of the president issued on March 5th, 1933, on the confiscation of gold. Wow. All persons required to deliver on or before May 1st. Why May 1st? Could it be that it's May Day or Communist Day? I'm sure that's just an accident. All gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them to the Federal Reserve Bank branch or agency, or to any member bank of the Federal Reserve. And I won't bother reading the, it says by, this part is important. It's by virtue of the authority vested in me by Section 5B of the Act of October 6, 1917, that's Trading with the Enemy Act thing, as amended by Section 2 of the Act of March 9, 1933, entitled the Act to Provide Relief in Existing National Emergency in Banking and for Other Purposes. in which a mandatory act of Congress declared that serious emergency exists, I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, do declare that said national emergency will continue to exist. Let me read that again. Will still continue to exist, and pursuant to said section, do hereby prohibit the hoarding of gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates within the continental United States by individuals, partnerships, associations, and corporations, and hereby prescribe the following regulations for carrying out the purpose of this order. And it goes into how they're terming people. They said that the term person, here's one of your clues, the term person means any individual, partnership, association, or corporation. Ah, person, even then, could be a corporation too. And what's fascinating about this declaration posted in all public buildings and banks, post offices, you name it, this was actually made, that proclamation was actually made on April 6, 1933, and the confiscation for gold certificate, and you had to turn in your gold certificates, they say identified by the words gold certificates appearing thereon. The serial number of the treasury seal on the face of the gold certificate are printed in yellow. Be careful not to confuse gold certificates with any other issues. Fiat, by this guy's definition, which are redeemable in gold, which are not gold certificates. Federal Reserve notes and United States notes are redeemable in gold, but are not gold certificates and are not required to be surrendered. Well, that was the Secretary of State's signature on that. But in between this, on March 9, 1933, and keep in mind that the bankruptcy was done on March 9th, he does his first fireside chat ever on March 12th. Just to assure people that, you know, it's a banking reorganization. And, you know, this money in the bank, whether that's invested into people's property and this. Do you remember the line that Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life? Remember when there was a run on their bank? Similar things were said in that movie, which I now find in retrospect kind of interesting. That, there he is trying to save the savings and loan against Mr. Potter's bank. He's saying, no. You can't come in and get the money because your money is invested in, you know, Joe's house. And, you know, you people have got mortgages and, you know, we've been putting that money forward to help grow the community and blah, 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 blah. Well, what Franklin was telling everybody was the reason why we don't have enough cash reserves, which used to be before they started the fiat. Just love that. Fat. It's almost like you said fat. It used to be the banks would take your money in. Now, the money at the time, folks, wasn't collectible stamps. It wasn't, you know, your grandmother's brooch. Money of the day was gold and silver. And people didn't want to carry that around. You know, for one, the weight of it. You carried $100 or $200 on you, you know, I mean, you'd tear the pockets out of your pants. So people would naturally deposit that at the bank and they would give you a receipt. That was the script that people, and eventually people said, well, this is a better way of doing it. I can keep my gold and silver in the bank. I can just deal with this script, and hey, that's fine. It's readily acceptable. That's how all of this stuff started. So what Franklin was telling you, we've declared a bank holiday, and some banks may not reopen. And then some might, but some won't. But don't worry, your fiat currency, it won't be fiat currency when you go back to the banks. Yes, it will be. This is when they did the gold confiscation, turn around and sold it to jolly old England for $35 an ounce, folks. And the bankruptcy of America was on, and still is.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And here we are, dealing, trying to run an economy, trying to keep the job markets there, trying to fight off the communists, trying to fight off the hordes, trying to crash the gates, being lied to repeatedly about what condition our condition is really in. You know, I was at a savings and loan. I'm opening up a new account because Chase chased me out for no damn good reason at all. I really do think it was, the Federales listening to the program, and maybe they had some banker friends, and phone call was made, and no reason, just get his butt out of there. At any rate, of course, I had to give the people the lowdown at the savings and loan. And I had a young kid. Well, to me, he was a kid. But he used to work for KXAN in Austin, TV station. And I told him, I said, you know, the reason why I went and did this is because people were not getting the truth, not the true history, not where we've been, not where we're at right now, and Certainly not where we're going, because that would dash many people's hopes that, yeah, keep running as fast as you can. Chase your American dream. Just don't look down, because you're going to realize you're going to run off the edge of the cliff. And there ain't going to be nothing down there. And there ain't going to be anything staring back at you. There's going to be absolutely nothing. According to a shocking new study that was released, 62% of all jobs in the United States do not pay enough to support middle-class life. That means the American dream is truly out of reach for most of the country. Today, Americans are working harder and than ever before, but the cost of living continues to rise much faster than our paychecks are increasing. And again, let me put that in salient, understandable terms. The cost of living continues to rise. That's the inflation. Now, they didn't use inflation. Mr. Snyder did not use inflation in the body of his story. But we all know it's actually the devaluation of your dollar. Okay? There's just too many receipts out there being flown around. It's like a maelstrom and a Texas twister. It's just flying everywhere. And it ain't worth nothing. The only thing you're going to get out of that if you get too close to it is probably a paper cut. Earlier this month, I went and looked at the latest numbers from the Social Security Administration, and I discovered that 50% of all American workers make less than 30 grand a year. But that's just above the poverty level. In fact, the federal poverty level for a family of five is currently $29,420. Most families are just barely scraping by from month to month, and most U.S. workers are just one major setback away from falling out of the middle class. And it wasn't always this way. At one time, America had the strongest and most vibrant middle class in the history of the world. But now the latest study has discovered that it's only 38% of the people who get the middle class life or better. Now, let me stop and digress here for a second. Do you think these wingnut Democrats, the communist socialists that want everything spread around, want you paying for whatever whim they come up with? Where do they think that money's going to come from? And they don't even understand the concept of money. They don't understand what this economy has been based on, and they don't know why and how it's been blown out. They got no clue. But yet they're going to move ahead with their progressive policies and, well, along the socialist meme. And, you know, well, we just have to have social programs. We've got to have this program and that program and everybody going to work and just sharing the wealth with everybody because we say so. There's your socialism for you folks. And I appreciate Hinckley calling in yesterday because it's important that people understand exactly who and what we're dealing with. The globalists don't want worldwide communism. That was the mechanism, the antithesis, if you will, against the capitalist. And that was also an invention, by the way, of the communists, calling it capitalism, kind of like communism, because it's really what we had is free market, a free market. If you understand the concept behind that, it ain't got nothing to do with any isms, or ain'ts for that matter. When wages are weighed against the cost of living in the largest 204 metropolitan regions across the country, 62% of jobs don't pay enough for even a dual-income household with children to meet the definition of middle class. According to a new Opportunity Index developed by Third Way, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank, we were shocked, they said, to find out it's only 38% of the people who get the middle-class life or better. According to Ryan Bandery, a policy advisor for the Third Way, in an interview with Daily Mail. It's no wonder why so many people are shopping at Walmart and Dollar Tree these days. Which, by the way, God, these dollar stores. Have you noticed what happened to the dollar stores? Now, they used to deal a lot with overstocked items, stuff that might be approaching expiration, whatever. And you could go into a dollar store and get some pretty damn good deals. Pretty damn good deals. And usually the expiration of the born-on date and the packages could be trusted because, well, corporations don't want to be sued. for product that might go bad before their expiry date. But have you noticed what they have been doing? They are more like retail outlets, aren't they, with retail prices? That's because somebody realized that, wait a minute, more people are shopping with us. So, you know, here's our chance to make some good money. So it's kind of an illusion with the dollar store idea that somehow that you can go in there and get stuff for cheap, you know, like used to be able to buy day-old bread. Hell, they used to have a day-old bread shop here. Was it Baird's? Mrs. Baird's? Yeah. That's even gone out of business. Somebody ought to open up a store and say, you know, just say, hey, if you don't mind a little mold on your bread, you know, here's the week-old crap. I'm sure people would buy it. Scrape the mold off. It might smell a little funny, but don't worry. Just toast it or just ignore it. For many Americans, those are literally the only places they can afford to shop. When I was growing up, it seemed like literally everyone else around me was middle class, but these days are long gone. Here's a breakdown of some of the numbers from this latest study, what they're saying. 30% of the jobs are hardship jobs, meaning they don't allow a single adult to make ends meet. You know, little things like you need an apartment, you know, you need to buy some groceries. If you've got a car, you got to put some gas in it. 30% of these jobs, you can't even do that with. 32% are living wage jobs, which is enough to get you by, but not take vacation, save for retirement, or live in a moderately priced home. Moderately priced home. 23% are middle class jobs, allowing for dining out, modest vacations, and putting some money away for retirement. Retirement? What's that? Wait till the people of America find out when they reach the retirement age, when this stuff really starts to split and show its real innards. They're going to discover their retirement funds aren't even there. Wait till that happens. 15% are professional jobs, paving the way for a more comfortable life that includes more elaborate vacations and entertainment and more expensive homes. Sure must be nice to be that 15%. And the definition of middle-class income changes based on where you live. As the study noted, it's much cheaper to live in a middle-class lifestyle in the middle of the country than it is to go to the West Coast. The following comes from the Daily Mail. For example, a worker in San Francisco, one of the most expensive housing markets in the country, must make a minimum of $82,142 to achieve a middle-class lifestyle. And again, let me stop and digress for a second. California, with the taxation out there, yeah, you got to make $82,000 to pay the burden of tax out there because they're busy paying for everybody else, for people that aren't contributing to jack squat, ergo illegal aliens, and the social butterflies that demand the redistribution of wealth. By comparison, workers in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, can achieve middle-class status in a job paying $40,046 or more per year. So many of us have run ourselves ragged doing all these things that we were supposed to do, and we assumed that the middle-class life would be a reward at the end of the trail. And unfortunately, that reward has never materialized for millions of hardworking Americans. USA Today profiled one of the deeply frustrated workers in a recent article. Esther Atukula, who lives in Brooklyn, New York, I feel for you, Esther, has a good job as a public relations specialist that pays more than $50,000 a year. But because of the $1,440 a month rent on her studio, notice I said studio apartment, in the Prospect Leffitz Garden neighborhood, she never takes vacation, dines out just once a month, and scrapes together dinner leftovers for lunch the next day. Can you identify with Esther? Well, I sure can. It can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you can only to realize, as hard as you can, that your goals are now further away than ever. Oh, and by the way, don't look down at your watch. The hands of time are ticking, and your life is running out. Imagine, folks, think about this. when retirees in this country that are depending on, and they might be getting benefit from their retirement right now, but when this thing blows open, guess what's going to happen to that monthly check? Ain't going to be coming. For most Americans, it's as if the last recession never ended. Well, it hasn't. And again, what are we being told? You know, people have been so mushed and crushed and their brains just pounded with all the crap that's going on a daily basis, all the crises, all the societal unrest, all the cultural differences, and oh my, and on we go. Do they forget 2016, before Trump got elected? We had 92 million people out of work. I didn't say 92,000. I didn't say 900 and some thousand. I said 92 million. So, okay, Trump gets the credit for adding 4 million jobs to the economy, which I do believe that he has. He's inviting, actually doing a little arm twisting, I think, with a carrot. You know, they still get tax breaks and everything. But come back. Come back to America. Build your plants here. Hire Americans. Well, that's partially being successful. But according to the White House, Trump's added 4 million jobs. Okay, let's do some simple math. 4 million from 92 million leaves 88 million. People still out of work. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't think this is one of these issues that we're going to give you the rose-colored glasses, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt said in his little first fireside chat that, you know, we thank you for your trust, and we'll straighten this issue out, this, that, and the other. This is not one of these issues that you can fake it until you make it. There are some harsh realities here that are going to have to be met. And nary do you hear the term said anymore on mainstream news about kicking that can down the road. They don't even want to go there. Because kicking that can was a reference to all this debt that's piling up, and we're just going to kick it on down the road for the next generation. You don't even hear that anymore. Everything is fine. Nothing to see here. Just move along. So I guess we made it through October. In a couple hours, it'll be November 1st, so I guess we didn't have our banking holiday here, or we didn't have a crash, not yet, in the economy. But folks, the only way this country is going to survive, and we've got to get rid of the damn banking system, the fiat money system. There is no two ways about this. But you're still out there hoping against hope. Well, we'll see exactly how much. I've got to check myself sometimes. I almost said poop in one hand and weigh that other one. Which one weighs more? Well, in case anybody is interested in the politics out there, California early voting data reveals an uphill battle for Democrats. Say it ain't so, Joe. The home of Feinstein and Boxer, which, by the way, is Boxer still a U.S. Senate in the... How's come you never hear her name anymore? It's like she's dropped out of life itself. Is she still an acting or seated senator? She retired. Oh, that's why you don't hear about her anymore. Yeah, I really keep track of the socialists that are there. Jeez. Why didn't she take that bag with her? The one that hopes to be Pelosi, that hopes to be the Speaker of the House when Democrats take the House back. Here's a little snippet here from KPIX TV.
Now to campaign 2018 and early voting already underway all over the place.
We can tell you who's voted so far and why it does not point to a big surge for Democrats.
KPIX 5 political reporter Melissa Kane is here with those numbers. Melissa?
Yeah, that's right, Ken. Liz, so, you know, last year we saw the president's inauguration and then the women's marches, and there are scores of first-time candidates running for office. But actual voter turnout in California so far has just been average for a midterm election. And we talked to one expert who says if this trend continues, it is bad news for Democrats.
Election day is around the corner, and Californians have already been voting for 3 weeks.
What we're seeing in the early returns, though, is that the early returns are largely coming from those older, whiter homeowners, more Republicans.
Did he say whiter
and young
or whiter?
Voters are not returning their ballots at the same
rate. Wait.
Paul Mitchell.
Stop here. What's the term? The whiter people. Do we have different shades of white people now that I wasn't aware of? Come on, Mike, keep me politically correct, for God's sakes. I might offend somebody.
Is the vice president of Political Data, Inc., and for years his firm has tracked absentee ballots. And it is common for older, more conservative voters to send in their ballots early. But this year, Democrats are hoping for a blue wave. And so far, it hasn't happened.
To put it plainly, Democrats won't be able to flip these congressional seats if young voters don't turn out.
For Democrats, the path to winning a majority in the House includes flipping 7 congressional seats in Central and Southern California. Mitchell says to do that, Democrats need exceptionally high voter turnout.
They're going to have to see an outsized turnout from young people and people in independents and Democrats who are going to vote Democratic tickets that is nothing like we've seen in a gubernatorial general election in modern history.
So far, that is not happening. Among 18 to 34-year-olds who vote by mail in those districts, an average of 6% have voted. And more ballots have been returned by Republicans than Democrats in 6 of the 7 districts. Mitchell says even with this slow start, Democrats could still win some seats.
That's not to say it can't be done. It's just to say that if and when it does happen, we should be pretty amazed.
Now, right now, California has historically high voter registration, nearly 20 million people. That's thanks to the Motor Voter Program and other registration efforts. But as we said, the data so far shows that even as registration has gone up, the turnout has stayed the same. The number of people voting in this midterm election so far is similar to 2014 and far less than 2010.
Do you know anything about the women vote? I mean, there's been such a push on social media, especially in the wake of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and the Me Too movement, that a lot of women are going to be going to the polls. Have we seen any evidence of that yet?
So far, it looks pretty evenly split between men and women. There has not been a disproportionate or outsized number of women casting those early votes so far in California.
That's from KPXI-TV. Notice what was missing in that story? What about the black and Hispanic vote? No, it was just whiter conservative people. If this is any indicator, folks, if this is any indicator how November 7th is going to turn out, Nancy, you better go find another job, because it doesn't look like you're going to be Speaker of the House of Representatives. And from what I understand, is Mr. Ryan, is he checking out as the minority speaker, Republican speaker there at the end of this year? I think that's still on. This clown, I don't know. I don't know who's going to hire this guy, because every time he opens up his mouth, people are laughing too hard to hear what else he has to say. Charles in Los Angeles. Hello, Charles.
Can you hear me, John?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. You can take away from what you were talking about is people adapt to the conditions that are given to them. You know, $1,500 a month studio apartment. You go back to Germany, and I mean, they took the food off the shelves, and they still, you know, adapted to the conditions that were given to them. So, I don't know. I think you want to get rid of the Federal Reserve. I think we have to detach the Zionists from the media first. We have to stop the mass media radiation. Otherwise, I just don't see anything changing. They just got too much control over the populace. And I just wanted to make that comment. So thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Charlie, I appreciate you chiming in. I don't know if that necessarily has to be that way, because I think if there is a political generated movement, hopefully coming out of the Oval Office, and this will be the real test. I don't know. Donald Trump's going to be what, Mike, 74 in 2020? A 74-year-old man that knows, definitely knows, he's closer to the end than he is the beginning. His kids are all set, obviously. He's not going to be robbed of his wealth. He's got real estate interest and other... let's put it this way. The guy's loaded. So at the age of 74, when he's rerunning for president in 2020, knowing that you're going to be shuffling off the mortal coil, maybe not today, maybe not next week, maybe not next month, but maybe in the foreseeable years to come here, that he has the courage to really make America great again and to start the national discourse and the dissolution of this private corporation known as the Federal Reserve. Now, the shocking thing about this is most Americans still do not know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Federal Reserve is a private corporation for profit, just like Chrysler, Fiat, or General Motors, or, the Debbie Donuts. Doesn't matter. Most people in this country do not realize that this is not part of the federal government, and the script that they're holding is nothing but an IOU. They don't know that. They literally do not know that. So, we've got some fun times ahead of us, I guess, and the only thing I'll say about this upcoming election, and you notice I haven't been talking about the caravans or, you know, Pittsburgh or who is the funny bomber down in Florida? And that Stormy Daniels just happened to work at the same club he did. Come on, man. I thought I'd take a little different tack today, because if you are like me, I'm a little burned out with the BS, and that's all that it is. And by the way, I will say this to people again. I will say this to them again. Every once in a while, Fox News, I think I sent you one over, finally found the clip on the illegal that was interviewed by Fox News in one of these caravans. I misspoke, and I had to make a correction. This guy, he wasn't wanted for murder in Honduras. He was charged with murder in the United States, and he's trying to get back in the country. Wow! At any rate, I just thought we, for the first hour of this program at least, we'd take a little break from the indoctrination processes. And by the way, Charlie, I appreciate your call, but no, I don't. I think without assigning any other labels or causes or political agendas or anything else, I think Donald Trump needs to do a fireside chat to tell the people about the Federal Reserve, and it is a private corporation that they have not been looking out for the interest of the American people. They've been looking out for their own interest, literally. Let's take top of the hour break. We'll put out the call-in number, 800-313-9443. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.